You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 359. Notre Dame did pick up a win over Army. We're getting closer to that bowl eligibility, which might sound like we're being a little sarcastic, but I am actually very happy about.
I don't even want to talk about bowl eligibility at this point.
That's one of the few things to look forward to, Randall.
Well, before you get excited about a bowl game, the only way they'll get in is if they're 5-7. There's not enough 500 teams. But
you don't think they will. You don't, if Notre Dame ends up 5-7, you don't think they'll be in?
Oh, I think they'll get in at that point, but it'll be some bowl game that nobody cares about.
Well, yeah, true. But it to me, if you don't make the playoff, then after that, I don't care what bowl game.
If they get a chance to go to a bowl game,
but getting a bowl game is very important for the development of this team.
I agree. Don't turn down a bowl game. You need the practice. I don't care about the game. You need those practices. But I'll just warn you right now, Notre Dame is going to get blown out by USC for the last game, and so it's going to be very depressing leading up to that potential bowl game at 5-7. But they have to beat Virginia Tech this next week.
Yeah, let's not look too far ahead. But Notre Dame did finish the 2014 season on a major skid, and beating LSU did really shift momentum.
That's true.
It seemed like it helped turn things around.
Yeah, that's true. But back to this game.
Yeah. Well,
first comment I have, let's not wear those uniforms again.
I was thinking, we were talking about Shamrock Uni's just, I don't know if it was the score prediction podcast or if it was the preview.
Yeah, it was the score prediction.
And I said, I really don't care about him, but I tell you what, towards the end of the game or midway through the game, I really started liking those uniforms.
Well, I wouldn't mind them if they're not on the field. They're just a terrible color to watch on a green grass field.
The only complaint I had, it was hard to see the numbers.
Yeah,
but I just didn't think it meshed. I liked how they looked.
Yeah, I like if you see
and I liked them a lot more after a win.
If you see a player strolling down the street wearing the uniform, it looks great. But on a football field, I didn't think it meshed well with the colors on the field. It's just it just didn't look good.
We're going to talk about what we expected, what we didn't. We're going to talk about some things that we loved, some things that we hated, and then go through the different position groups on offense and on defense and giving a few thoughts on that. So, first off, what we expected, what we didn't, neither of us expected Notre Dame to cover the spread, and they covered it in a big way. 44-6, the spread was 14 points. I was absolutely shocked by this.
Yeah, that I did not expect it to be that good. For Notre Dame to get such a big win, I think they played way better than expected, and Army played worse than expected.
And even though Army came in with a very highly ranked defense, we did know that it was against bad competition. Yeah. But Notre Dame's offense, I still think it is. It shows that Notre Dame's offense is a solid offense. They struggled there for a few weeks, but they are a very good offense. And this Army defense is still decent, even if it's not nearly all it was cracked up to be. We talked a little bit about Notre Dame's ability to have some big plays on offense, and they definitely did. They went downfield early to C.J. Sanders. He didn't catch the ball, but he did pick up a pass interference. Stefferson was targeted a couple times deep, and one of those ended up being a touchdown. And we had some big running plays, some from Deshaun Kizer. And overall, very happy with the way that Notre Dame attacked. And I don't know if it was because they thought they could take advantage of Army's defensive backs. They were really playing off coverage and playing soft. Or if it was something where they took a lesson from last week where they said, we need to get more possessions, which is reason against Navy. I was hoping that they would push the ball downfield more and just try to manufacture some extra drives. And Notre Dame did have five drives in the first half and 3 in the second half. Let me just double check here. I believe it was 5 offensive drives, not counting the opening touchdown on special teams.
Well, there was a total of 2 drives in the fourth quarter. I mean, Army had it for 7 minutes, and then Notre Dame had it for 8 minutes. So there wasn't a lot of the ball didn't change hands very much in the fourth quarter. Each team had one possession.
Yeah. Well, Notre Dame kind of had 2. They had the interception. You're saying the second half?
No, I'm saying the fourth quarter.
Oh, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
yes,
they did
yes.
The second half, the third quarter. But in the fourth quarter, both teams were just grinding it out. Long drives that took a lot of time off the clock.
And I was watching the game with Tony, and he was kind of complaining about why is Notre Dame putting up? They only scored 1 touchdown in the second half total. That's all they scored in the second half. But if you look at it, Notre Dame had 5 offensive possessions in the first half, and then after and those possessions, as far as time, they were about 2.5 minutes, 3.5 minutes, 4.5 minutes, 4.5 minutes, 1 minute, and then in the second half it was almost 7.5 minutes. They did they picked up an interception versus Navy, and they were in great field position, only had 37 yards to go, so they had it there for about 1 minute 40 seconds, and then the final drive was almost 9 minutes. They didn't score, but they were just grinding out the clock. And that was just end-of-game grind-it-out mode. Chew up the clock as much as you can. And that's what, if you're a good team, you can do that. You can put the game out of reach and then finish the game. And I thought Notre Dame did a great job of doing that against Army.
Yeah, and as far as slowest, I mean, first half, that was the most points they've scored in a half since 2011, I believe, was against Air Force. And I was a little shocked that they didn't come out and score more in the second half. But honestly, I think it just, it's one of those things where Notre Dame is slow to make adjustments. Obviously, Army made adjustments, and I think they played a better defense and keyed in on what Notre Dame was doing.
In the second half?
In the second half.
I disagree. I think that was all Notre Dame grinding it up. Because look at it. Notre Dame's first possession in the second half was almost 7.5 minutes long. It was 16 plays, 76 yards, and then it ended in an interception at the goal line. Let's talk about that a little bit. It was fourth down, and DeShone Kizer went. It was fourth and 2, right at the goal line. DeShone Kizer went under center, and it looked like they were going to do a quarterback sneak. They needed 2 yards to get a first down.
It was fourth and 1.
It was fourth and 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe they could have converted on a quarterback sneak at fourth and 1. But Army, I don't think they were going to go for it. I did not think Notre Dame was going to go for it. They were going to try to draw Army offside, which they did. Army came flying over the top very aggressively, and it was obviously a offsides, and Notre Dame gets a first down.
Well, the player that came over the top there, Andrew King, they kept mentioning it on the broadcast how he was a guy that Notre Dame recruited, and he was actually at the Shamrock Series game during his recruitment. And then Notre Dame just didn't show much interest after that, and he ended up at Army. But the most annoying thing about that is the announcers were praising him for what he did, going over the top like that. And I know you want to be aggressive, whatever, but it's a penalty, and somebody could have got hurt in that situation. Like I couldn't believe they were praising that play. But I mean, they were saying, you know, he's going 100%.
Yeah,
you know, true. But that's a terrible play, right? That terrible move by him.
I mean, it was fourth down, and Notre Dame had another set of downs to work with. Lucky for him, it ended in an interception.
Yeah, which was very disturbing. You're first and goal, and if you're grinding it out, first and goal at the 4-yard line, why do you go empty backfield and throw for it?
Okay, well, do you remember it was either the first or second offensive drive Notre Dame had? DeShone Kizer ran it into the end zone. It was a similar situation, goal line situation. He ran it in for a touchdown, but then there was a penalty. So with DeShone Kizer, he can run the football. You might not have an extra blocker there to kind of help you necessarily get to the edge,
I know, but
it's different than Tommy Rees.
I totally agree. Field. But there's no reason to have your quarterback running it, and even the chance of getting hurt. Put a running back in there. Let him do the work. That's what he's there for. You got Adams and Folston. They're doing just fine.
I have a hard time being critical of this decision, especially because of how the game was going. DeShone Kizer ran for 72 yards, had a long of 27, and converted a couple. He had at least one third and very long situation where he converted it by running.
This has been an issue all year that they throw it on first and goal, and it came back to bite them a couple times this year. And they've always been a couple plays. They've always been within like one score. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm saying. You're ahead. You have a comfortable lead. So don't put your quarterback in a dangerous situation like that.
I see your point, and I'd mostly agree with you. But then, do you almost never want Notre Dame to pass on first and goal?
No, not if you're on the 4-yard line.
Well, then, I mean, the defenses are just going to stack the box, and they will stop you. If they know there's zero chance of running, they're going to stop you.
You have four tries to go 4 yards with two good running backs plus a good running quarterback. And I was saying, like, you shouldn't run the ball. I mean, shouldn't be running it. But you have too many talented players. There's no reason you should be going.
You also have a quarterback that is going to play in the NFL.
You know there's a team that lost the Super Bowl because they threw it on the goal line. It's coaches outthinking themselves. It's not necessary. And it's especially not, against
it's
Army.
Just not, it's just not that simple.
Army's not going to stop you four times in a row on the goal line.
Well, and one other thing to kind of your point is we don't need to get a touchdown at this point either. We can run it three times and kick a field goal.
Exactly.
While I partially disagree with you, I think that you do need to stay balanced. And if there's something there, you've got a quarterback who really did have a really good game.
Yeah.
And you do trust him. I mean, it's not like he is throwing picks to touchdown ratio of 1-to-1. I mean, he's really throwing touchdowns at a much higher percentage than he is picks. This one was just a bad decision. Okay. Why don't we just go through the different position groups next? Starting with the offensive line, they did get a really great push. A lot of times it did look like a wall moving the Army defensive line back off of the line of scrimmage. And in the halftime break, they were showing on one play in particular, they pretty much pushed the entire Army defensive front back 6 yards. And it was just a wall of room to run behind.
Yeah, I think they did a much better job of prepping for the run, using the tight ends. And obviously, you know, it's Army, but they did replace Mark Harrell, or they put Harrell in instead of
McGovern slash Bivin, Hunter Bivin.
But who knows, you know, if this was because he was playing better and, you know, the opponent just, whatever it was, he did a good job in there. I was disappointed with the run game. I thought they did a much better job of planning out the run game and doing what they wanted to do. You know, using the tight ends and just being able to run the ball, just force it down Army's throat, which I wish they would do that more often. But a lot of times they're trying to do too much with that offensive line and end up not doing anything.
And the final drive of the game when Notre Dame, they moved it 70-some yards, had a lot of plays. Let me just pull it up here. They moved it 69 yards, 14 plays, used up almost 9 minutes of clock to finish out the game when they had their backups in there. And they did bring in quite a few different players, including on the offensive line. I don't know exactly who they all were. John Montelus was one of them. But there were a couple guys that they were subbing in and out. And hopefully, you know, starting building for some of our eventual starters at some point.
Would you have wanted them to pull them out earlier? Because it seemed like they didn't. They were still playing the starting offensive line. And then Sam Mustafer got banged up a little bit, and then that's when they, it looked like they pulled out everybody, all the starters.
And did they do it right? Was it in that drive when it switched, when Sam went out, or was it? Was that the beginning, or was it kind of midway through?
Kind of midway through.
Okay. I don't think you would have done it before that. If you were in the drive before, then there would have been Notre Dame got the ball. Where did they get it? But it was after that after the interception, where they eventually scored a field goal. They were pretty much in the red zone, and definitely not the drive before that, which would have been in the third quarter still. So no, I think that they waited until the fourth quarter, and I think that was what you would have wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they didn't get more.
They only had one drive in the fourth quarter. McGlinchey was flagged with a false start, and
you can just expect at least one out of him every game.
I didn't see this, but it was either the post-game show that they said that Brian Kelly was kind of complaining more about from their perspective, it looked like he was mad at the Army defense for imitating the snap count. And that's what drew him offsides or caused a false start. But none of the other offensive linemen jumped. It was just him.
He's the captain. He's the one guy that shouldn't jump if all the other four do.
Sam Mustipher also had a false start, which, I mean, I think probably should have been a fumble, a loose ball. They called it a false start. Good for Notre Dame. But overall, the offensive line, I thought, looked really, really good. Run blocking, pass protection. There was only a few times when Kaiser was getting hit or under pressure, had to move in the pocket.
Yeah, he had plenty of time.
And they did a great job just blowing Army off the line of scrimmage.
Hence why you should go run the ball on first and goal at the 4-yard line.
Okay, well, let's talk about the running backs. Josh Adams, again, had a great game, ran hard. Something that we were looking for into this game was how well we were running through tackles, and definitely he passed. I mean, he was breaking tackles, running through them, and he finished the game. He wasn't the leading rusher. In fact, he was third on the team in rushing. He had 70 yards, one touchdown, averaged 4.5 yards per touch, had a long of 14.
My man Folston had less carries and more yards. He was averaging 6.5 per carry.
And a big chunk of those, probably 40 of those, were in that final drive when most of the backups were in and they were just chewing up the clock. But he looked good. Ran hard. Thought he looked really solid. Kind of surprised that Williams didn't get more carries. He only had one carry, and it was on a jet sweep. Which, in my opinion, should be going to C.J. Sanders. But, he didn't see the game, and the game was never in question, and Adams only had 15 carries. So maybe it was partly because the game was out of reach. They didn't need him, so.
I don't know, it would have been nice to see more, but at the same time, it's obviously Josh Adams is the number one guy. They're not switching it up. They don't have basically, he's the main running back to start the games, and so Folston didn't get carries until, you know, most of them were in the second half. So I think they wanted to get Folston those carries and
keep Williams fresh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you keep him fresh necessarily, because he needs the reps.
Kind of, but I think Folston is the third string guy.
No. He is not ahead of Williams.
I think he is, Randall.
I mean, he is. Folston is your number two guy, especially in the last couple weeks. He's doing just as good as Adams.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
If Folston would have been in there on Adams, he would not have broken those tackles or ran through what Josh Adams was running through. Okay, so we disagree on this point.
Yes.
Let's move on then. Let's talk about caught balls. Josh Adams had one, again, with the running backs. Josh Adams had one for 70 yards, and Folston had one for 8. And, yeah, not used heavily. Let's talk more about receivers here. This is what was interesting to me. I mean, KJ, Kevin Stefferson has really, really continued to solidify himself. He was the one guy who was targeted more than three times. He was targeted eight times, while St. Brown, Wisher, Sanders were targeted three times. So he's getting more than twice the targets. He finished with five catches for 75 yards and had a 37-yard touchdown. St. Brown did catch all of his three targets for 32 yards. And then I guess we'll lump the tight ends in here as well. Smythe had two for 41 yards and two touchdowns. So Deshaun Kizer talked about whenever he throws the ball to him, it's going to be a catch, and that he looks for him in the red zone. Well, today he was definitely looking for Jerm Smythe.
All you had to look for was the lone guy in the end zone. it was pretty easy for Smythe. He is now, his last three catches have been touchdowns, and it would have been four, except he fumbled that one on the goal line. So if he wouldn't have fumbled that, he would be four catches for four touchdowns.
Wow.
Nick Wisher had an impressive catch.
It was huge. It was on a third down, and yeah, had a big catch on that drive.
That one, was it Smythe in the end zone when Kizer threw it to him? There were three guys right there. That was a bad throw by Kizer. It was behind the tight end. If he had it in front of him, they would have had another touchdown. But hey, you can't get everyone, I guess.
So CJ Sanders stepped in and started for Torrey Hunter, who will definitely be back next week.
Which he was out with a knee injury, and I'm about positive that it was because of the hit against Navy when he got hit in the knee. There's no need to play. He did come back and play in the Navy game, but there's no need for him to play this week. So I think they're just holding him out, giving him a break.
And over on the forums, talking about CJ Sanders, Irish Don has started a thread about mistakes Brian Kelly has made this season. And towards the top of his list was not manufacturing more touches for CJ Sanders. And I completely agree. He may not be one of your three best pass catchers in a traditional sense, but he's so elusive when he does catch the ball that he needs to get more touches than on special teams. And obviously he started off the game with a huge play on special teams. But he should be the guy that's getting that jet sweep instead of Dexter Williams. I know Dexter Williams, he's also explosive and can definitely make plays. But we're not getting nearly enough touches for C.J. Sanders. And he was targeted three times. He did pick up a pass interference penalty when they did go to him deep. But just not enough times, especially in the screen game. I mean, someone else did catch a screen pass. Now I forget who it was. It might have EQ has caught a couple.
Yeah,
but I thought
Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool caught that one that kind of didn't go anywhere. CJ Sanders is the guy you want on those, and I'm not saying he would have made plays in the specific instances in this game, but overall he's going to make more plays in the screen game than what EQ or Claypool will.
I don't understand what's going on with that situation. It seems like there might be something behind the scenes because CJ Sanders, I mean, even lost the starting punt return job to Chris Fink. And he, you know, he made a mistake the other week, but his big playmaking ability, I mean, I think outweighs, you know, some of the mistakes he's made.
And he hasn't really made a mistake in the passing game. He's been on special teams.
Yeah, he's now fourth all-time in touchdowns in the return game. He has three kickoffs returned for touchdowns and one punt returned for a touchdown. So he's doing... I don't understand what's going on with that situation. I agree. I think he should be getting more snap. I do want to... I haven't done it yet, but I want to look at how... I wonder if he's having a hard time... against the bigger defenders. You know, he is a smaller guy. Maybe he's not as open like a lot of the other receivers are. But, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Stefferson, you know, obviously he had one drop, but he continues to make big plays. And Notre Dame is looking pretty good at wide receiver.
When the backups came in on that final drive, Austin Webster, if I walk on, came in the game, and Fink and Holmes were and Boykin were kind of the mainstay out there at the different wide receiver positions. And then obviously Claypool was in there even earlier in the game some as well. Okay. Quarterback. He was definitely more accurate throwing to his right. He did overthrow or completely overthrow one, but I was really impressed. He made two throws that where he was being hung on to or off one leg that ended up being really big plays. And so really impressed with him. He did completely overthrow. It might have been Fink or someone down the left side. But for the most part, most of his passes were very close to being catchable, even the ones that did end up not being caught.
There was some that were pretty bad. I mean, that I thought.
Well, maybe like maybe four of them.
Yeah, there were some that were pretty bad. I think his deep ball isn't as good as it was earlier in the year. Maybe in last year. Well, last year, you know, he had Will Fuller. But sometimes those deep throws, maybe it wasn't necessarily the throw, it's just the guys weren't necessarily open. And he's still launching it down there. There's complaints that he hangs on to the ball too long in some of those because he likes throwing it deep. So it's just not, I don't have the same confidence. When you see him wind up and get ready to throw deep, I don't have that same confidence in it actually being a reception that I did earlier in the year.
His first half stats were really impressive. 13 of 19, 171 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He did end up having a pick in the second half then. Rushing, we kind of did talk about that, but he rushed 7 times for 72 yards, had a long of 27, and because Army was playing, the defensive backs, for the most part, were really off coverage. And when the play did break down, when he was given time in the pocket and the receivers were running downfield, gave a lot of space for Kaiser to make plays on the ground. And I think that's something that Notre Dame was expecting, being able to use Kaiser more in the run game against Navy, that they weren't able to. Okay, I'm finished talking about, well, I guess we should talk about Zaire as well on that final drive. So it is a tough position on the field. It's what, at the maybe the 2 or 3 yard line.
That was scary.
Thankfully it was that, not the 1 yard line, because he goes under center, fumbles the snap. Was it a bad snap? I'm not sure. Either way, it's fumbled and it's now at about the 1 yard line. And it just looked like more of the same. However, they were able to convert. It was almost completely running on that final drive. There was one pass that I believe was 6 yards.
Yeah.
And was that the one to Folston, kind of on a middle screen pass?
I don't remember for sure.
Not sure. But you can see.
Well, the one thing I don't like, you know that when the backup comes in under Brian Kelly, he's not going to pass the ball.
You're trying to end the game. I'm fine understand. With it.
But in this instance, it was fine. But other times, you wish they would throw the ball just to get some practice, just get some reps. But, yeah, it's feel bad for Zaire and the situation he's in. I know he wants to do so much, prove he should be the starter. But in doing that, he's making some mistake like that fumble and just, yeah.
All right, should we move over to defense?
Yeah.
All right, Jerron Jones, he did play. I don't know how many snaps, but he was in there for definitely a handful of plays.
Oh, quick, well, you want to start with them?
Well, defensive line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, it seems like Jerron Jones, Brian Kelly doesn't want to play him because he doesn't want to. Jones doesn't want to play and is worried about getting hurt. We saw it was last week, even his mom tweeting things out. But same time, if that's the case, then why are you playing him in garbage time? Like, close to the end of the game when it was out of reach. Why are you playing him then? Yeah, but when he's in there, he continues to make plays. So it is mind-boggling situation. He better have a monster game against Virginia Tech or...
As far as NFL or as far as fans?
Just fans,
getting upset.
Yeah.
Linebackers. Starters were... Well, I actually mentioned this on the D-line. Stars were Rochelle, Tillery, Trimbetti, and Bonner, Jonathan Bonner. And Jay Hayes did play some.
We still haven't seen him, like...
Not as much as I would have expected.
Yeah. Or, like, the talk was after, you know, halfway through the season. Well, right after Brian Van Gorder was fired, that Brian Kelly said we have to get Jay Hayes on the field. Well, we haven't even seen him that much more.
Yeah. Rochelle ended with 4... Tillery had 3 tackles. Jaron Jones had 2, and then Jay Hayes had 1. And I'm probably just skipping.
Well, they did a good job of plugging up the middle and forcing Army to go outside. Obviously, you're not going to have the numbers to make it look like that, but they did great. Just keeping the middle of the field covered.
Mm-hmm. Linebackers, Morgan, Martini, and Anualu were starters there. Martini had a great game. He had 9 tackles, 1 sack, 2 tackles for loss. And there was one series in particular where they were close to the goal line where he had either a TFL or a sack. I'm not sure if it was on the quarterback. And then right after that, they were passing, and he was unblocked and had a sack, and it forced Army to kick the field goal, which they missed. So very impressed with Martini.
I thought he played much better. He wasn't quite as hesitant.
Whoever was going after the quarterback, there was still times when they were kind of waiting for the quarterback to either pitch it or keep it. But there was one play in particular where it was... let me see here. Yeah, it was 4th and goal, the one where they scored the touchdown, and it was James Anualu, and if he would have attacked, he maybe could have disrupted the pitch to the back, whoever was getting the ball, but it ended up being a touchdown then. And there was a time when they did attack the pitch man, and I'm not sure if it was by design, but one of the cornerbacks, I believe, went and... hit the quarterback as he was pitching it, and the ball hit the ground. I mean, Army kept it, but it was at least a no gain.
Yeah, Army lost it a couple times, but they always seemed to recover it.
And they definitely, I should have said this at the beginning, but to maybe start talking about defense, but Love was playing at safety, which I guess we're talking about defensive backs next. But it seemed like it was pretty much... The safeties were on man coverage along with the cornerbacks, as long as there was 2 receivers out there on man coverage. And he played great. I mean, this is the second week in a row where he really played great. He's hitting guys, and Brian Kelly was asked if he would keep Love at safety, and he said that no, this was just specific to Army. However, I think that, I mean, plays physical. And one play, you know, he ran across the field and ended up making a tackle for very little gain. Had the interception. He's a baller.
Yeah, I totally agree. The only thing I would say is that even last year against triple option, we would see Tranquil and Martini have monster games, and then that was it. You didn't hear from them in any of the other games. Julian Love,
whereas
we have seen
Love
him.
Love has been making plays at cornerback.
We have seen him at other times, and he's making more plays. But just remember, this is a different style of defense. So just because he was technically the safety in this game, don't expect him to see it safety.
I don't, but I'm just curious because...
You can't move...
I mean, Stutzel, I'd say, is pretty physical and has done a very solid job as well.
Yeah.
But I really...
He's not going
to
move.
I like to see Julian out in the field, and if you need to move him somewhere else to get him out there, I think you should do it.
Well, I don't think you need to move. He's a cornerback. He's doing a great job. Very impressive this game. I mean...
Well, maybe next year if Crawford comes back and takes over that. And again, it depends if Notre Dame's going to be playing primarily in nickel or if they're going to be playing primarily in a 4-3.
That is one thing that we haven't really discussed yet. Wait till after the season, but I'm kind of excited to start looking at what this team, what the starting lineup could be, especially on defense next year with these players. But, yeah, I thought they all – I wish Notre Dame would have played Army before Navy. I wish the two games would have been flipped because I just thought the whole defense, especially the defense, played better, much better in this game. They knew what they were supposed to do, and they did it much better than they did against Navy. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a different team, not as good, but I think even if they had played Navy again this week, they would have looked a lot better.
I agree. And there was definitely times when Army did have big plays. They had a big passing play where Love was on coverage, but it was called back because of a chop block. And they had some big running plays too. But there was a lot more very short yardage plays instead of Navy getting, you know, 5-6 yards almost every pop.
Yeah, and there was actually a missed tackle, that long pass play. Or the long run, there was a missed tackle earlier, and you know, so that was really, I mean, it got called back then, but you know, so they did make some mistakes, but I thought it was much better than what they played against Navy.
Jalen Elliott came in as well, and Vaughn was the other starting cornerback, so it was Cole Luke and Vaughn starting at cornerback, and then Jalen Elliott also came in, and I think he came in for Love. Could you tell?
No, I can't tell you for sure.
And did Stud still play at all? I didn't see him, but I could have missed it.
I don't think so. He didn't record any stats. I'd have to go back and look. With all these young guys, it's still hard to keep track of who is on the field and who is, I mean, as far as the numbers and stuff.
All right, let's talk a little bit. I'm finished with defense. Ready to move on to special teams unless there's anything that you wanted to hit yet.
No, I think the defense is playing, keeps improving, and they've got some big tests in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully they can transition back to normal.
I know.
Facing a normal offense.
My fear is that it's going to take a half to get back to facing a traditional.
That's the bad thing about playing two option teams in 2 weeks. Okay. I agree with you because we've already talked about how there's always the game after Navy is always an issue. Here, I don't think it was because another triple option team, but it could be the game after two triple option teams.
Special teams. Kickoff for touchdown, opening it up. Punt return by Fink that I thought he should have fair caught on Army's first punt, but then his second return went for 20 yards, and overall impressed with his ability and what he's done.
Yeah.
Fertitta had a huge hit that almost caused a fumble.
Yeah, that was a monster hit from a little guy.
Yeah. So overall, all three phases of the game.
The extra points could improve.
That is true. That is true. We did leave 1 point out there on the field.
I was, you know, watching Army, they missed the extra point. I was like, man, how can you miss an extra point? I mean, I knew their kicking game was bad, which it is. It's obvious why they go for it on fourth down all the time. But then Yoon goes and misses an extra point. Like,
but at least he hit the field goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about what we love, what we hate. What I loved was that on that punt returned by Fink, there was one that I didn't mention where there was a flag thrown. There was a mistake on special teams, and I loved that it finally wasn't Notre Dame making the mistake. So instead of Army getting the ball because it bounced off one of Notre Dame's return men or blockers, it ended up being a running into the return man by Army. So I love that finally there was a mistake not made by Notre Dame on special teams, and it was by the other team. Did you have something that you loved?
Well, I thought they, just the whole defense, how much they improved, how much better they looked against the option. I mean, like I say, it was still Arnold, but I thought they did get better during the week and knew how to attack this team. And even just the offense as a whole, too. I mean, I'm not picking certain things, but just I thought Notre Dame did a much better job in the preparation. And hopefully this will give them a little bit of confidence that they needed.
Yeah, I did not expect Notre Dame to come out and look like this.
No, and it helped. That C.J. Sanders touchdown, that helps a lot. That was even though it was the first play of the game, is momentum changing. I mean, it just changes everything. And so often this year it's gone the other way. The other team makes a big play, or Notre Dame has a huge mistake that changes the momentum of the game. And so many times if that momentum would be going the other way, they would have won games this year because they have been close games. And usually there's that, you can point to that one turning point in the game, mm-hmm. you know, that gave the other team a chance to win. And I think Notre Dame got that turning point on the very first play of the game and yeah. set the tone for the rest of the game.
If you would ask me, where was the turning point where I knew the game wasn't going to be close? I almost couldn't tell you because it was so dominating just from start to finish. Whereas you're right, against every other game that we've played, there's either been a point where I think Notre Dame can win this game for a change, or what's been happening more often that, it went the other way where Notre Dame was kind of in control, and then you just had a feeling that it just shifted and Notre Dame wasn't going to come out on top.
Yeah. I'll just throw this in now. Was it Bob Davey? They mentioned this in the post-game show about installing the triple option at Notre Dame. And he said he would love to, but it would take 3 years to do it. And obviously you don't have 3 years to do it at Notre Dame. Like, you would lose too many games.
It would be tough for me to be a fan of Notre Dame football.
I am not a fan of the triple option.
If we'd be running the triple option. Although they did say that he has number one rushing attack at New Mexico.
Yeah. So, but
hopefully we won't be playing them anytime soon.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Yeah, anyways, this is just a side note.
All right, things that I hate. This is just a small thing, but I was watching the game on the NBC Sports app, and there was no audio for the beginning part of the game. And I was kind of going back and forth trying to figure something out, and then I went back and looked after the game had started, and then there was audio. But again, it doesn't seem like there's this many issues. I mean, a few weeks ago, it was the bar at the bottom that shows the time, the score, the down and distance, the play clock. That was all screwed up for about a quarter. Well, I don't understand, and it was NBC, I don't understand why this is happening. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
Notre Dame isn't bringing in the money that they usually do.
Well, something. I mean, I can't imagine this happening on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
So, they did come out, and it ended up being okay, but still perturbed. All right, that's all I've got.
My bad, I mentioned already, but I'll say it again. Throwing for it on first and goal at the 4-yard line. This is definitely something I hate.
Randall, who is our score prediction winner who gets a pound of free coffee from Main Street Roasters?
Let me get his Twitter handle right. Pexter24, Joshua McLean. He predicted 45-17. So he was 1 point off with Notre Dame. If Justin Yoon wouldn't have missed that extra point, he would have been right on. So we'll be sending him a pound of coffee.
All right. Congratulations, Pexter24. Thank you guys for listening. Do come back on Wednesday for our preview podcast when Notre Dame takes on Virginia Tech in an effort to become bowl eligible. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you later. Go Irish.
Go Irish.